Welcome to the podcast of Fairmount Presbyterian Church in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, where we feature our worship sermons. Listen again to past sermons from home, when you are traveling, or wherever you are. Listen in if you need a moment of reflection, inspiration, and love.
Will you join me in prayer? God, your word is our wisdom. It gives us insight, strength, and courage. Open our hearts and our minds that we may receive what you want to give us and respond in turn. Speak, God, for we are listening. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Micah. You heard a little preview of it before, but let us hear a little bit more of Micah's words. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. An argument broke out among the disciples over which one of them should be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles rule over their subjects, and those in authority over them are called friends of the people. But that's not the way it will be with you. Instead, the greatest among you must become like a person of lower status, and like the leader like a servant. So which one is greater, the one who is seated at the table or the one who serves the table? Isn't it the one seated at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we are sent, as we are called, as we choose to go into the world, the body of Christ, dwelling amid the body politic, seeking the common good for all, we go with minds and hearts that are humble to share a faith strengthened by always seeking God. We go with hands and feet that are just to take part in God's healing of a hurting world. We go with souls and spirits that are kind to tell God's story of dignity, empathy, and love. And we go, led by the God who sends us, calls us back, and sends us again to be and become more than we could ever dream for ourselves. Well, Micah is one of the minor prophets, meaning that he is one of the 12 prophets who have shorter writings that are compiled in the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament. Micah, like many other prophets, brought God's message of displeasure with the social and economic injustices that were occurring, as well as the corruption of the religious landscape, with prophets who were just in it for the pay, an abundance of pagan gods being worshipped, and religious leaders who had sold out. Themes of justice, peace, and the coming Messiah are all lifted up in this book by a prophet who grieves over the message that he brings, and also stands in solidarity with those who are being oppressed. Just because the book is brief doesn't mean that Micah doesn't have a lot to say. There are also some clues in the text that this book was shaped to be used in public worship, with the passages we read this morning being one of the liturgies in the book, in which you can hear the way it might have been read by a variety of voices. As one commentator notes, the prophetic message was remembered, collected, updated, and reshaped for use in the assembly of the community for worship, so that later generations could also hear in these words a word from God. In the passage we read this morning, God has just been reminding the people of all the ways in which God has helped them, saved them, been present with them. And so we begin the reading hearing the people question how they should respond. They're trying to figure out, what does God want from me? What is the thing I should bring to God in response and thanksgiving for all of God's steadfastness? And then there's a voice shift. And we hear the answer. God doesn't want some thing from you. You don't need to figure out the perfect thank you gift for God all wrapped up with a nice bow on top. What God wants is for God's people to live lives of justice, kindness, and intentional relationship with God. While in some ways that's a clear and straightforward answer for how we are to live our lives, it also seems at times like gathering 10,000 rams might be a little easier. In Bruce Reyes Chow's book, Everything Good About God is True, that we've been using as a companion this Lent, and which I quoted from at the beginning of the sermon, is quoted in your bulletin, he details justice, kindness, and humility, and why we must choose these things as a part of our life of faith. About justice, he writes, justice is not just about how we treat one another. It's also about the institutional and systemic oppression, the effects of capitalism, and the ways our politics have reinforced institutions and built systems that normalize oppression, exclusion, and marginalization. God helps us navigate these systems and advocate for solutions, not to build up a theocracy, but to ensure that institutions are taking care of their citizens. We choose justice because we refuse to allow injustice, oppression, and suffering to have the final word. I find that to be a really helpful and comprehensive definition of justice and why it is so important to God and needs to be important to us. Of kindness, Bruce summarizes, kindness is about seeing others and ourselves as complex, unique creations that are always beautiful, often broken, and sometimes living in grief. Kindness challenges us to embrace the complexities of every situation and every person, yes, both friend and foe. Well, the Hebrew word used in this passage here in Micah for kindness is hesed, which carries with it the sense of a love that is loyal or steadfast. So when we think about kindness, it's not just being nice to each other and like smiling as we pass each other on the sidewalk, but it's about being committed to loving both God and other people, which moves us right into walking humbly with God. You can tell I've been reading my commentaries this week and how, because I don't preach super often, I can forget how much I love nerding out over a good Bible commentary. Because I also want to tell you more about the word that gets translated as humbly. See, it's not all about humility, though that's certainly a piece of it. See, this word also has the sense of being circumspect or careful, or I might say intentional. And just as important in this phrase for Micah is the word walk. One commentator writes, in Judaism, the word for ethics is halakha, which means walking. The idea is that the task of ethics is to describe how one ought to walk one's day-by-day life. So, if we put these two Hebrew words together, we get something like walking with intention on God. The commentator goes on to say that this call to walk is similar to the call of Jesus, whose most characteristic invitation was not believe, but rather walk or follow me. Which leads us, you see what I did there? Which leads us to our Luke passage this morning. In this chapter of Luke, Jesus has gathered the disciples for what is their last meal, saying to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And also, "But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table." And so the disciples begin asking each other who that one is going to be. You can imagine the scene, the disciples in a bit of a panic over this news and casting shade on one another, theorizing whose hands were where and which one of them is going down. And it's in the midst of this moment that the dispute arises among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. It's as though they're saying, okay, so we know there's a worse disciple. Jesus just said that. And if there's a worst, there's got to be a greatest. Could it be me? Is it me? I think it's me. I think. And I can just see Jesus with his head in his hands, taking some deep breaths, saying, seriously, guys, how many times do I have to explain this to you? Okay, here we go again. I'm the leader, right? You look up to me. You follow my instructions and my teachings about God, and you have a certain idea of how a leader is supposed to lead based on your experience of living in the world. But that model is what society has taught you, not what God is teaching you. I am not here to be superior to the people, but to serve the people, my people, especially the ones who have been pushed aside, taken advantage of, and mistreated. Your concept is that at a dinner party, the most important person in the room reclines at the table, right? But I'm here to tell you, I'm not sitting at the table. I am serving those who are seated and those who weren't even allowed in the room. God has told you, O mortals, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That, my friends, that is what constitutes greatness in God's book. We just baptized Catherine this morning, and as I was talking to her and her mom this week about baptism, the Presbyterian understanding of it, and the questions she would be asked, which she got 100% right. She didn't need any prompting from me. I'm so impressed. I assured her, even though she may not have actually needed any assurance, I still assured her that to answer the questions being asked of her didn't mean she needed to feel like she fully understood God or had no questions left about faith. More that her answering the questions meant she wanted to be on this path. And she wasn't alone in walking it. You all just vowed to support her in that. See, we come together on Sunday mornings because while doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God is a good instructional manual, it can be hard to figure out how to actually do it in this world that we live in. We need each other's support and insight and questions to help us in this walk, to help us see the ways in which God is leading us, calling us, and sending us back out into the world. And we don't need to compare ourselves to one another or figure out who's doing it the best or the worst. But we do need to figure out what it looks like to respond to the injustice in this world, what it means to ensure that the institutions we are a part of are actually taking care of their citizens, and what it sounds like to call out evil while also being deeply committed to loving people. This is how we nurture our relationship with God. This is how we purposefully follow Jesus. This is how we continue to move with the Spirit. This is how we seek to live, not perfectly, but intentionally. Amen.
We thank you for listening to a worship episode from Fairmount Presbyterian Church. Revisit this podcast site weekly for new worship episodes. Have a beautiful and blessed day.